Well, our scripture today comes from Psalm 77, and in the bulletin, I think I put verses 1 through 15, but I actually am going to read the whole chapter for you this morning. Let's begin with these words from the psalmist. It says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Now, this isn't a very joyful passage to start out our education year. Most years we try to make this into kind of a celebration, right? Last year, we had balloons. This year, we had a movie night the night before we started. And we always try to make it special for our children. So somehow, this passage doesn't seem to fit with any of that. And yet, this passage probably tells us more about why we teach than many other passages in the Bible. This psalm, well, it actually reveals a person in crisis. The weight of the world is on his shoulders. He would like to believe that his faith is strong, but it's being tested. And he feels like he's failing the test. He says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. So it would seem that he's done what he's supposed to do. He went to God with his requests. He poured out his heart and his soul to his Maker, but it doesn't seem to be helping. He goes on to say, at night I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. Sometimes life doesn't go our way. Most of us have had those times in our lives. And if not, you can bet that they'll be on the way at some point. And we can look at our young, innocent children and think, well, what do they really have to worry about? But somewhere down the road, they're going to face those same types of challenges. Teaching is not about equipping children for the happy times of life. Oh, of course there's benefits when things are going well. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to suggest that what we learn in Sunday school is more necessary when we're going through the bad times. when we need a foundation, when we need a rock to cling to in a time of storms. The reason we can picture these images that the psalmist gives us so well is because they represent us. We can see ourselves bowed down on our knees, begging, pleading with God in our times of need. So we identify with the psalmist. This psalmist, actually, his name is Asaph. And his, well, we can identify with him when he says, "I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint." Some of you may feel that way today. I hope that you don't. But it may have been a rough week for you. And we know that it's been a rough year for many within our community. Sometimes I feel like groaning, actually. My spirit can grow faint, especially when I see people who are entrusted into my care. See, pastors are not immune to the spiritual assault that bad medical reports and challenging crop years and fragmented relationships to all those things, what they can bring. Sometimes we feel the weight of everyone's struggles combined, and we feel somewhat helpless to change those situations. So most any of us can relate to this next paragraph where Asaph says this. He says, "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak." Sometimes we just want to close our eyes. We want to shut out the world around us. We want to block it out. But God makes us look. And we see all of that trouble around us. And like Asaph, the situation seems beyond words. Sometimes there's just nothing left to say, right? We can try to speak words of wisdom. We can try to provide comfort through given words, but often those words are hollow. They're empty in the midst of the situation. So sometimes silence can be more beneficial. And I say that because it was when Asaph was in this pit of despair, when he had no words left to say and could barely let out a groan, that he started to find a ray of hope again. He says, "I thought about my former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired." How many of you look to former days for comfort? Do memories sometimes calm the pain of today? Recalling memories is a good practice, even if the bad memories at times can be beneficial. The good times remind us of God's love and of His blessings. The trying times remind us of God's sustaining hands. And it's important that we remember both when we think back. As we recall both good times and challenging times, we realize that God has been there for us through them both. We're reminded that He never leaves us and never forsakes us. Now that can sound quite quaint. It seems like something that a pastor would say, right? But recalling past memories does not mean that we don't question the present or show concern about the future. It's obvious that Asaph had a lot of questions. And he fires off a whole flurry of them. He says this, he says, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion?" What a thought. All of these are very real questions. They're natural questions. They're questions from the heart. Questions like these are not challenges to God's authority. They are reflections of our emotions. They tell what's going on inside in those given moments. I find it hard to believe that anyone facing serious challenges wouldn't have a few questions for their God. Questions are our way of letting things out. When we question God, what we're usually seeking is understanding. We want to know why. We want to understand why this situation is the way it is. We want to know if there's an end in sight. And most of all, we want to know that God will stay with us till we reach the other end of that tunnel. So I see no shame in questioning God unless we're demanding certain answers. We're providing our own answers. Then we have a concern there. We need to understand that we are not in control. As much as we'd like to be, we're never really in control. And the king, right, the king doesn't need to answer to his servants. A boss doesn't need to explain himself to his employees. If the one in charge actually does that, it's really kind of a benevolent gesture. But sometimes we insist on that control. We want it for ourselves. We have basically one preferred answer, and anything short of that kind of leaves us disappointed with God. And that's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's when we distance ourselves from God. And that's a big mistake. We always need to allow God to be God. So while we often question God and we beg for a response, we can't try to dictate what that response will be. We need to trust. We need to release it into His hands and allow Him to give us what is best. So I think Asaph is okay with this line of questioning. It's really just kind of an emotional venting that he has. He's not walking away from God, even though he sounds quite desperate in these moments. And I know that because, well, he says this. He says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." So who do you think he's appealing to in that moment? To God? No, not really. He's appealing to his own sense of right and wrong, to his own sense of God's providence. And he finds strength in this. His faith is renewed here. Asaph appeals to his own understanding of who God is and what God does. And where does he get that? From previous experiences, right? But where do we get it from? Even before we have our own experiences, we get it from what we've been taught. And this is how this rather discouraging psalm ties in to our Education Sunday. All of you teachers, all of you mentors, you are preparing these young people for what's to come in life. Mother Goose can get them through the happy times of life, of course. Dr. Seuss can probably bring a smile to their face. Educators at school can teach them the skills they need to have an occupation and things like that. But you, the teachers in the church, you are equipping them for life. Why can an Alzheimer's patient still sing hymns or the Lord's Prayer? Why do praise songs comfort us when we're in distress? Why do simple verses that we learned 30 years ago sustain us? Because someone took the time to kind of fill our reservoirs with spiritual songs and lessons so that we could go back to those songs and lessons when things got tough. Now, I know how frustrating teaching can be. I know that most of our teachers have extremely busy lives. But the hour or so that you give today makes a lifetime of difference to others, to that individual who will someday face some challenging times. I'm curious. I want to take a poll here. Raise your hand if you can remember something that your Sunday school teacher taught you. Okay? See how many people? You had something that spoke to you. Can you remember the teacher? Can you remember the lesson? Can you remember when it was applied then to your life? I think we fail to appreciate the longevity of a teacher's influence. And yet you see by the hands raised how much that makes a difference. I can remember things that my first Sunday school teacher taught me way back when in Rock Rapids. And I have to tell you, she was kind of a rough lady. She never had kids of her own. And she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But she taught me Jesus Loves Me, the song. She taught me the B-I-B-L-E, and somehow the fact that she couldn't carry a tune, that may be why I remember what she taught me, because I can still hear her voice striving to teach us that song. I still hear her voice, even though she is in heaven for many years already. Teachers and mentors, you need to grasp the awesome responsibility that you've been given. God has entrusted you with young minds, with young hearts that are searching, young minds and hearts that need to hear about Jesus. They need it today, of course, but they'll need it more when they go off to college. Or when they lose a job somewhere along the line. Or when they have a death of a loved one. These stories that you're sharing with them will come back to them. They're going to sustain them, especially when the secular life has nothing to offer them. It's in those bad moments of life when they will feel like curling up in a ball. That's when they'll remember what you taught them. It's in those moments that the simplest of lessons will come to mind. The old songs will pop into their heads. The lessons about Jesus, about his love, that's what will be remembered. It's that type of song, it's that type of remembrance that Asaph talks about when he says that he remembered his songs in the night. Songs that are comforting if you're 4 or if you're 40 or if you're 94, right? We still remember those songs like Jesus Loves Me. And we can thank God for some teacher some years back who made sure that we were equipped when we needed to recall those songs and stories. they told us the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They shared with us God's love for Moses and his people and how God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. And it's those stories that equipped us for life as adults, because we get the bulk of our equipping when we're really quite young. It's much harder for adults to learn later in life. It's just kind of a known fact. And I know it personally because I went to college when I was 31 years old. And I'll tell you, that is a bit of a challenge after you've been away from school for quite a while. So teachers, you have to understand that you're doing more now than what anybody else can do later in life. But let me say a little about adult education as well and the need for continual learning. It might be more difficult to learn at a later age, but don't give up. Don't skip coming to adult Sunday school and say, well, that's all behind me. Education as adults is actually more about relationship than education of knowledge. Each time you hear the old stories again, you have your faith renewed. Each time you try to apply what's presented, you're growing in your faith. And that's what keeps you thriving in your spiritual walk. Now, some people I know, they go through Sunday school and they feel adequately educated when they get through a number of years. You know, we have some people that start to check out on Sunday school in junior high, high school, and definitely when they turn to be adults. They walk away from all these educational opportunities. And that's kind of like saying, well, I ate breakfast this morning. I started out my week right. I had breakfast on Sunday. Maybe I don't have to eat the rest of the week, right? Can I get by with that? See, Sunday school sustains us. Life groups, Titus 2, RCWM, all those adult education events, they all sustain us. And they also help us to grow personally and with our relationship with the Lord. It never ceases to amaze me when people say that they don't feel alive in Christ, and yet they don't take advantage of any of those things. They don't do daily devotions. They barely show up at church at times. How would they expect to feel alive? They're starving themselves to death. And yet, in those darkest hours, there's still a glimmer of hope for those persons, because they do know their Lord and they remember what he's done for them. And it all started with Sunday school long ago, or with the Promised Lands lesson, or something like that. So the foundation is still there. Asaph speaks of God's ways being holy. He asks, what God is so great as our God? Where did he get that? Did he come up with that thought on his own? Of course not. There was a teacher somewhere along the line that taught him what he needed to know about God. A teacher shared with him about God's compassion and about his strength. And because Asaph heard these lessons, he was prepared for these moments of distress. Well, in the end of this psalm, Asaph speaks of God's power through the storms. He talks of the winds that caused the waters to part for Moses. But he says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. God's footprints are rarely seen as we go through the rough waters of time. but we can often see the footprints of the teachers and leaders and mentors who have shown us how God leads us through those storms. May God bless our teachers as they educate us for life. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you entrusted people with your message. We think of that old picture, that old saying about the footprints, and we know, Lord, that you left the footprints on your disciples. You gave them the message that had to go out to the next person, and the next person, and the next person. And it comes down through our teachers right here at First Reformed. We pray, Lord, that we will feel empowered as teachers. That each teacher will feel the Holy Spirit working within them to bring your message to life within a young child or within an adult. We pray, Lord, that you will just allow our teachers to see how long that message will last. And then we pray, Lord, for everybody here this morning that we will be able to reflect on what's been taught to us, how we have that foundation, how we have all those songs and hymns and other things that ground us, how we have those Bible verses and the stories that we've learned about the Bible to just give us strength whenever we face challenge. We pray all this in your name. Amen.